Before I begin, I want us to realize that it's brand new year. Every year we seem to get something from the Lord that first Sunday that really kind of sets the tone for the whole year. And I don't know if this will be that or not. We've found over the years, though, that usually is what ends up happening. So I want us to know that we are responsible to hear what's being spoken and to hold it before the Lord. And if what witnesses to you is a word from God, that then you ask God to make it real, to show how that gets worked out in your life. We don't take any of these things lightly. And I think it's important for us, in the time frame especially that we're in, that we pay even closer heed to what the Lord wants to speak. As we get closer and closer to the day that the Lord is actually going to come back, you guys do believe that, right?
Yes.
You know
yes.
that Jesus promised that he is coming back and we are all going to see him face to face. That realization should energize us, should make us be sober in the way that we look at life, what's going on around us, being able to hear what he has to say and to do it. These things are important to all of us. So, as I was praying and asking God what he wanted to speak today, the thing that came across the most to me was, and this is kind of almost in a prophetic sense, this is going to be a year of vision. And what I mean by that, what the Lord was showing me in this, is that there's actually like two aspects to vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Without a vision, the people perish." Without vision, without God laying out in front of us a prophetic vision, we don't know where we're going, do we? Without taking good heed to what are the words in this book, because that book gives us understanding. And so vision can be something that's prophetic, that's out in front of us, that we see, that we understand and we do. And then it's also the understanding of what this word is to us and how it is to be applied in our life. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about today, because without that, people perish. And when you look up that word means are unrestrained. And so if people don't take good account of what's here, their lives are not going to be led by the wisdom that's in this book. Right? Even people that come to know the Lord and accept that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, unless we take a greater heed to what's here, we're not living and holding our life before God so that it becomes closer and closer to the way he wants, then we can become unrestrained. We'll just do what we want to do. And where we make the wrong choices, there's the consequences of those choices. Isn't that right? And God doesn't want us to be unrestrained. He wants us to be led by his Spirit. Amen? This also means, where it says perish, this also means to walk around in circles. you don't know where you're going. You ever go be in the car and you're driving someplace and you pass a certain spot and you make some wrong turns and you go right past that place again?
No.
No. Now, Joe, but some of the rest of us, that can happen. That can happen, can't it? You know, maybe not just exactly like that, but there are places in our life where God, we seem to take that same stupid road and God has to deal with us again.
Yeah.
In that same area. Again.
Yeah.
Instead of getting beyond and going somewhere else, we have to be dealt with over and over and over again in certain places of our lives. And in that sense, we're perishing. We're just walking around in circles, doing the same stupid things, thinking the same stupid thoughts, allowing those same stupid fears, those same things, the sin that so easily can entangle us, and we just keep going over and over and over. And God is saying, this is going to be a year where we're actually going to finally, we're going to wake up to certain places. We're going to actually see and understand where our minds have taken us down the wrong road. Yeah? Where there is a sin or an attitude that's wrong, and we're going to understand, oh, wait a minute. I've been down this road 700,000 times. And I don't want to be down that road anymore. I want to change. Amen? And I think that God is saying to us for this year, there is going to be a tremendous amount of that taking place in our lives. And as a church, there's going to be some tremendous things. We are going to be people of vision. We're going to see. We're going to understand what is actually happening in our life. Yeah? You think that might be a good thing?
Yes.
I hate making the same mistakes over and over again. I hate to say, take this as you may. You know, I used to be able to eat and it would not affect me. I could eat as much as I wanted to. It did not matter. Really. It did not matter when I was in my 20s and 30s up to 40 something. And then something happened. And now I say to myself, I am going to lose some weight. But I keep doing the same things that don't allow me to lose the weight. And I expect to lose weight. You get it?
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. And so, you know, when the dawning happens, when I begin to see that I can't... what I'm saying for this year, it's not just that we're going to see it. But we're going to see it, understand it, pursue God, and find the resolution. That's what's going to happen this year.
Amen.
Do you like that idea?
Yes.
But it's going to be your responsibility. Just hearing the message is not going to do this for you, right? Just me speaking the message isn't going to do it for me. I need to be pursuing God with all my heart, and so do you. Because there are some big, big things that are coming up in this world. And we want to be ready for them. And Jesus is getting, and the day of his coming is getting closer and closer and closer. And we want to be those people that are looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Don't we want to do that?
Yes.
When you sang those songs today, 10,000 Reasons, you know, and I have to stand in back of Elaine, and you know, she's jumping up and down.
How can you stand still?
But that's what I'm saying.
you sing some of those words, and when you sing, when you're actually engaged in the, how can you not be excited inside?
Yes.
Maybe you can control your body.
Maybe
not. But maybe not. She couldn't. And you know, that's what's really good. I like the fact that people have that freedom to express, and we need to be able to do that even more and more.
It's one thing I like about our group of believers here. We're getting more and more like that, aren't we? So, where there is no vision, the people perish, it says. And so we are going to be people this year that are going to have vision. We're going to have understanding. Now I want you to go, we're going to look at the two aspects, understanding and prophetic. I want you to go to Matthew 13, if you have your Bibles. There's Bibles in front of you underneath the seat, if you want to grab one. Matthew 13. And this is something, verse 13, Matthew 13, 13. And here we don't want to be these kinds of people. It says, therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing, they don't see. That's kind of a funny phrase, isn't it? Seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they don't hear. Neither do they understand. There isn't really a vision. It's going through the paces. It's ritualistic. It's the thing that you're supposed to do, and there's not any real contact with the source. And lots of Christians can get like that. After we come to a believing, born again experience, we can drift away from that connection that we need, and we get messages, and we read the Word of God, and we sing worshipful songs to God, and in our singing, in our hearing, in our seeing, we're not seeing, and we're not really here. That's kind of the thing. We, living in this country where we can have church freely and, you know, get together as much as we want, and the Word of God can be preached, we have all this access to the Word of God, to worshiping, to CDs, to all this stuff, and we can have all of these things coming at our being and not hear or not see. Not allow those words to really take root. Yeah. At the end of the age, when you look at the seven churches that in the book of Revelation, the seven churches that are given messages, that last age of the church, the Laodicean age, what is the dominant attitude? What's the dominant theme that God tells us is part of the Laodicean church?
Lukewarm.
It's lukewarm. Lukewarm. And he says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Mm. Well, what's this lukewarmness then? It's kind of complacent. We hear messages. We listen to words of songs, and we like the tune, but we don't get the message from the tune. You know? You see? There's a lukewarmness. There's a little bit of warmth, but it's not hot. And we, because that is the dominant spirit of the age that really comes on the church, especially to snuff us out, we've got to work at that.
That's right.
I don't know how many times I've said to myself and said to you, how much sometimes you just have to rile yourself up. And I mean that in a real sense, that we have to show how at ease we are. We don't want to get too excited. Jesus. How many times have we talk about the fact, you know, you go to some rock concert, and man, they're like this, you know, and they're jumping up and down, and, you know, they're just having this, they're into that music, and they're into that band. They idolize that band, don't they? It amazes me. And we are so measured when it comes to our worship of God. We don't want to get too far out there. And yet we need to. We need a fire that just boils right up in us. And that and you know, that comes because we make a choice that's what we're going to be like. You and I have to say, if we're going to be a people of vision, we have to want it. And that's going to be important for us this year, that you don't and I don't just take the word for another word. But that every day we said, God, I want more of you today. Did you hear that in the songs?
Yes, yes.
I don't think that God is playing around with all of this. He loves us, and He wants to flow through us and use us in such a grand way here at the end of the age. But boy, we have to be people that want to do it, don't we?
Yes.
We have to be people of vision. And so you read here, and says that they're seeing they don't see, and hearing they don't hear. In them, in verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed, what's the word? Thick. Heavy.
Dull.
Corpulent. Fat.
Calloused.
Oh. That hits me in the wrong spot, I'll tell you that. We don't want to, see, we don't want to apply that to ourselves. Do we? No, that's somebody else. And yet, every single person in this room, every single person in the church has a place that they have to see is there and not condemn themselves, but say, you know what? I don't want that part of me to continue to exist. I want to see that changed. And I know that when I ask God for something, He's going to give it to me if it's in His will. And I know He wants me to change. Does He want you to change?
Yes.
And it's easy. It's easy for us to wax dull, to get into being just lukewarm with God. That is the age. That's the age that we're in. Lukewarm. But people of vision aren't going to be lukewarm, see? Somebody can say something?
I was just going to say, isn't it amazing that he's faithful?
No, he doesn't. This is what's so great about the God that we serve. He still wants us. As stupid and dull and lack of hearing and can't see and turn around in circles that we do, he still loves us, and he's looking for us to grab a hold of the message. Grab a hold of the word. Grab a hold of that relationship, a deeper relationship with Him. He doesn't give up on us, does He?
No.
That's what's so fantastic about Jesus.
I'm going to jump back a couple chapters in Matthew because I guess I've just been mentioning it here.
Says this, chapter 7, verse 3. And why do you behold the mote that's in your brother's eye, but don't consider the beam that's in your own? You know, if we want to be people that see, to have a vision, one thing we can't be is judgmental. Isn't that right? We can't be judgmental of the world. We can't be judgmental of one another. We need to look at things, know what's right, what's wrong, to be moved by the love of God and speak to people, but not have a judgmental heart about it. We're moving in this kind of direction. Are you ready for this?
Yes. Malcolm, I have a little point here. The devil loves to keep us busy identifying and judging the faults of others in our minds.
Yeah.
That way we never see or deal with what's wrong
with ourselves. What's wrong with ourselves?
That's right. When we focus on our thoughts and conversations and on our shortcomings of others, we are usually being deceived about our own conduct. Therefore, Jesus commanded that we not concern ourselves with the wrongs of others when we have so much wrong with ourselves. We cannot change others, only God can. We cannot change ourselves either. But we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do the work. Allow God to deal with you first, and then you will be able to humbly, lovingly, and effectively help others.
Yes. Because that's the other thing. In understanding, and dealing with ourselves, we have a much more loving way that we deal with other people. Isn't that true? Because if we don't consider ourselves and see that we're just as bad as, you know, the next person, and we have some high and mighty opinion of ourselves, and then and we're going to go out and we're going to right everybody else's wrong, you know, we're not going to have that right kind of love. We're not going to have the wisdom of God. We're not going to have compassion. We're not going to have all those qualities that Jesus had as he addressed certain things. And we're supposed to be, as Jesus, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And later on he says, you are the light of the world, the church. The church is the light of the world. And we can't hide ourselves. We're supposed to be out there. Well, you know, we're getting ready for something very, very big that's happening here at the end of the age. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that there's a big harvest awaiting?
Yes.
Why do you believe that? Because the Bible says it. The fields are white with harvest. And boy, if there were just laborers that could go into the field. Because lots of people don't take care of their own problems. Only see other people's problems. Only complain about this or that. You know?
We got some big things coming up this year. I want you to, just so we touch on this, I want you to go to the book of Joel, because there is this aspect of vision that deals with prophecy. And there are people, I believe, that are in this church that
have been gifted with prophetic utterance. You hear me?
Did you say Joel or Joel?
Joel.
Yes, she didn't hear you.
Okay, Joel chapter 2.
And we want to encourage people that that either have vision or have a spiritual dream to bring those things forward. It says here, and I think that's going to happen this year. If this is a year of vision, A year of greater understanding, a year of greater fire in our bellies for the things of God, then God is going to ignite those things in the hearts of those people, and we're going to be hearing more things. This is what it says in Joel chapter 2, and it's verse 28, and it says this: "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Yeah? That's going to happen. And if you keep reading, I'm not going to, but if you kept reading there, it's talking about at the coming day of the Lord. So that's what it's talking about here. Now, notice that it says he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. We have the Spirit of God within us. He pours out his spirit. Yeah, anybody? Anybody that he chooses?
Yep.
He can pour out his spirit on? Yeah. Have you noticed the number of TV series or movies that deal with, right now, Revelation, End of Days,
yeah,
is on TV.
It was so stupid.
I know, it's stupid. but you see, God is trying to get people's attention.
Right.
He's touching people to look into these things. Of course, they have a mind that's twisted or not in the dark, so they don't understand it the way it needs to. But for us that know these things out of the Bible, I look at that and I go, man, God is pouring His Spirit out on all flesh. He is trying to get their attention that we're coming up to the end of days. You know, it's messed up, but it does create conversation. It does create then opportunity, so that when somebody says something about that stupid show, that we, who should know what the Word of God really says, we can step in there and shed the right kind of light on things.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
But God is pouring His Spirit out on all flesh. This is, it's not just TV shows, but you know, you find that there's that kind of thing that's happening in the world. I don't know how zombies... You know, Z Nation and, you know, all these shows about zombies, you know, or Twilight with the vampires, you know, and you see, when I see that kind of stuff, I don't watch those shows because I know some of you do, but I don't watch those because it's stupid and it doesn't, I'm sorry if I'm offending somebody. But you know, I can look at that and I can go, wow, there's this rise of dark things.
Oh, yes.
I've noticed this over the last 20, 30, 40 years or so, where things that were used to be thought of by society as, you know, dark, things that you don't talk about those things. You don't make all these movies about that stuff. They seem to be coming in a much greater way. Have you noticed that? That things of the darkness not only are popping up faster and in greater amounts, but are actually glorified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vampires.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it's also a revelation. It's showing people what they technically are in the eyes of the Lord. They are the walking dead. They are putrefying. And if they don't change, then they'll meet their maker and get...
Yeah, that's the point I think God wants to do. And you're absolutely right. God is pouring His Spirit out on all flesh to get people to see that. People that have a heart are finally going to... They're going to see that, but other people aren't. It's just, you know. But God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh.
And I think Satan's also doing a lot of this stuff, you know, this evil stuff that you see on TV, to put it in the minds of people so that they don't
You know, they think that it's, you know, like you kind of get desensitized.
Yes.
You know, to all this stuff. Yeah. So people aren't seeking the truth. They're just saying, oh, you know, that's just a...
You know, or it's so confusing.
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, this is so confusing. Well, who, because I've had numbers of people say, well, how do you know that that isn't true and you're wrong? The world in darkness, your head spins around. In fact, you perish. Because you're walking around, your mind is walking around in circles. If you're not walking in the light of this Word of God, where you have the Holy Spirit within you, how can you not be in the darkness? You can't. You don't have a choice. You do have a choice to accept Him, and then things can change for you. Amen.
And the reason I call that program Real Stupid is at the very end, anybody that did not believe in God still got to roam the earth, and there was no such thing as heaven on earth in 1,000 years with the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the movie, it was just so beyond ridiculous. It was,
yes.
What a waste of what, 4 hours.
You know, you get to, it's the same thing with that movie with Noah, about Noah.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Creatures that come up out of the earth.
They're supposed to be the fallen angels or something like that.
And then I haven't seen the latest one with
Exodus,
Gods and Kings. Well, that should give you some idea. Gods and Kings.
Yeah.
You know? Give you a little bit of a clue that maybe it's not going to be following the Word of God too closely. But isn't it something, though, that they're making films about that?
Yeah.
You know? To people that have a heart for God, they're going to... questions start happening, and they begin to open up. People that aren't, it's just another movie to them. Right?
But don't you think it plants a seed, though?
Well,
it may not be 100% correct, but it plants a seed in people, like, well, maybe there's something
there. It gives opportunity to discuss it.
That's right. It plants a seed.
Say, you know, I went to see Noah, and it was such a great movie, or whatever. And then you can say, well, you know, there was some good stuff in it.
Sure.
But there was also some stuff that isn't really true in it. So it gives you the opportunity. But if you don't say anything, because you're afraid that you're going to twist them around or to, you know, offend them somehow, then that's where things come into problem.
You find ground where you can make some agreement, and you use that ground to be able to say, yeah, but I had trouble with this because, I mean, there's a way of dealing with all this stuff. Those kinds of things, we want to be people that are founded in the truth, right? Not in some fairy tale or a twist of the truth. But we can use what we listen to God, and we say where we can agree, and then take a person to a different place.
Yeah, the Bible says, "Put everything to the test."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every word of God is tested, right? Yeah. Amen. Okay. Almost done. So, we're going to jump back into Proverbs. We're going to close all the way back to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, this is getting back to talk about this one, this theme about, complacency. This is Proverbs 1:32. It says, "For the turning away of the simple will slay them." And actually, if you put in some other words, I think it makes it, turning away, what's that supposed to mean? The complacency, instead of turning away, the complacency of the easily misled, the complacency of the ignorant.
I have for the backsliding of the simple.
backsliding. Yeah. Yeah, because that whole concept of being a backslider is that you're not really taking much care or concern about the things that you learned. So you backslide, right? So it's a complacent attitude. It's not really living on the edge with the Lord the way that we need to. So the complacency of, here's another translation of that word simple. The complacency of the naive. And I love this one. The complacency of the open-minded. And isn't that something that's the big thing these days? To be so open-minded. You're so closed-minded. Christians are so closed-minded. Christians are so intolerant. And the world is so tolerant. And so open-minded. And they just accept everything as being true. So no matter if there's conflicting ideas, both of them are true. That's true for you, but this is true for me. Do you understand that? And I've never been able to buy that. How can something that goes one direction be true and the other thing also be true? How can there be many gods and how can there be one God? How can Jesus be the only way to the Father, but there are other ways? When Jesus himself says, no, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. So if you're following Islam, if you're following Buddhism, if you're following some other religion, then that's okay, because we have to be tolerant. No, those people aren't going to make it. Now that sounds so intolerant, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds so not so open-minded. But people need to hear truth too, don't they? We don't say it in an intolerant way. We don't, We certainly don't kill people for not believing the way they do, not believing the way we do. And yet there's other religions that do, and those religions are okay. It's us that have, we're the bigots.
Because they're tolerant.
Yeah, you understand? Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
It's an antichrist spirit in this, that's ministering all this stuff. Yes. And we have to have eyes to see that and understand it. Right?
Okay. I just wanted to leave us here with this thing in the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 2. Because I think this is what we have to do. Verse 3. Yea, if you cry after knowledge, and you lift up your voice for understanding. See, understanding, that's to be able to see. That's to have a vision. That's to be able to know where you're going. Right? It doesn't just happen. You and I have to ask God and cry out to God day after day after day. I don't want to lose sight of you, God. I don't want to become complacent in my heart and have just a little tiny little spark instead of a raging fire. And I wonder how many of us really have a raging fire inside of us. You know? Do we all have room to grow that way?
And I know some people say, well, come on, There's always something more that we have to do. Oh, no, really. If you're honest about it, people, you could sit there, and if I'm sitting there, if I'm speaking and I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, boy, there's always something more to do, isn't there?
But if you don't do it, it makes it even harder.
So isn't that right? I mean, yeah, there's always going to be something to do. You got to do that every day in life, don't you? There's always something you got to do.
Right.
You don't put your hand up to your mouth, you're not going to eat. Are you? There's always something you have to do.
Alright. So, it says here in Proverbs 2.
You have to lift up our, we have to lift up our voice for that understanding, for that vision, for that sight, to be able to know and understand. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then will you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Yeah? Not coming to church on Sunday. Give your hour. Of course, here's two. Give your 2 hours. No, there's something every day for us. And we have to be disciplined to want that. Don't we? Verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth, and out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps or guards the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Hallelujah. That's where we're going right now. That's where we're headed this year, in a greater way than we've ever done before. This is going to be a year of vision. It's going to be a year of a growing understanding and knowledge about ourselves and the things that have kept us from a deeper relationship with God. We're going to come to those understandings this year. But I'll tell you what, you need to seek out like silver. I have to search these things out like it's treasure. I want to know, God. I want to know what's holding me. And God, give me... There was something in one of the songs. I wrote it. Oh, Thy Great Name. See, this really hit me because I knew I was going to be talking like this. In Thy Great Name, there's a verse in the song. It says, "Hungry souls." See, I mean, we have to search. We have to be hungry.
That's right.
Not to say we are, but there has to. I have to say, God, I'm hungry every now and then for you. I want to be hungry more. I wanted more, right? Hungry souls receive grace, which is divine ability, right? You get it? See, we're going to need the divine ability to go beyond who we are as normal human people. It's going to be His grace that's going to allow us to be more than who we seem to be right now. And that's all part of this message for this year. We are new creatures in Christ.
Yes.
And shouldn't that start to be shown more?
Yes.
Not in some flamboyant, showy thing, but just that we're hungry for God so much that His life, His Spirit just pour out of us in a greater and greater way. Not drawing attention to ourselves, but that He's getting the glory. Look what He's done. Look what He's doing in our lives. I'm excited about this year. We're coming down to the end of an age. There's all kinds of things that God has planned for the end of the age. And He needs people that are going to be laborers in the vineyard for the end of the age. I know some of you, you know, you like me to jump up and down. But I'll tell you what, there is an excitement in what the possibilities are for this year. And the possibilities are out there that if we make those right kind of choices and we remain steadfast, the more that we're steadfast in seeking God and being hungry, having hungry souls for God, that we're going to see greater and greater and greater things happen this year. and it's going to happen faster and faster and faster. Look what's going on in the world. Look at all how things are happening so fast in the world. I think we need to keep up. Don't you?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to this year with you and with Jesus. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, today. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability to see. And in seeing that we do see. And in hearing that we do hear. Lord, we want to be those people. We want to be a people of vision, Lord. We want to be people that are constrained by your Holy Spirit, not unrestrained in our own devices. We want to be the light in a dark world. We must decrease so that you can increase. This is what we want. This is what our spirits want. Our flesh doesn't want this, but our spirit does. And so we identify, Lord, with the spirit that you've given us. We do not identify with our fleshly mind and our fleshly desires. We put that beside us. And Lord, we take hold of the new man. And this is what we identify with today. People of vision. People that have understanding. Prudent people. People that have wisdom. We thank you, God, today that you are providing that for us. And now, Lord, it's up to us to take a hold of the thing that you've taken a hold of us for. We press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much, God, that you're so loving and so fill us with light and understanding, power, strength, love, all that we need, grace, faith, all that we need in this life and in the one to come. We praise your holy name, Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen.